Good evening, everyone. Oh, I think we're a little distracted or we're a little sad. I don't know. Good evening. Wow, we're the brave, hey? The ones that came, rain or shine, we're here. We're here to hear the word of God. We're here to sing worship and just celebrate together that we serve a mighty God and we can trust in him. Let me see. How has your day been today? Has anyone been caught out in the rain? Yes? The storm? No? No, it's been all right. That's good. Well, we were out. We got caught on the way home a little bit by the rain, but that's okay. We're getting used to it. It's a bit of a tropical weather this last couple of weeks, hasn't it been? Well, I want to thank you all for coming tonight and welcome you to this week of prayer. We have been really rejoicing in his word and getting to know his promises, and I guess in a more personal way. And to start off tonight, I'd like to ask my sister-in-law Sally to start with a prayer for us.
Lord, for your love, for your patience, for your mercy, for your compassion towards us. Forgive us, Lord, for our weaknesses, Lord. But we trust you, Lord, that if we trust you, if we love you, if we follow you, Lord, you'll be able to guide us, guide our lives, Lord. Thank you for bringing us today. Be with our families, be with our loved ones that could not come, be with our brothers and sisters that might not be well. Be with us tonight, Lord, and open our hearts that we may be able to receive your Holy Spirit through the message that will be presented. We ask all these in your name. Amen.
Now, I don't know how many of you here are a social person. You like making friends. When you need someone, you say, who on my phone list can I call so that they can give me words of encouragement? Are any of you like that? Or some of you like me that are a bit more private and maybe we don't reach out that easily? Well, the next song we're going to sing is about our mighty Savior, that he reaches out to us. Even when sometimes we don't have the strength to reach to him, his everlasting arms reach out to us. This is our chance to sing praises to him and remember his promises and know that he's there for us, reaching out to us with his everlasting arms. If you're happy to stand and join us singing, or if you want to sit, whatever your spirit leads you, as long as you praise God with all your heart.
What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace. leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Isn't that great to know that we can lean on his Amen. Everlasting arms. Now, when I was thinking of our topic of Psalms 91, this song came straight to my mind because the words are almost taken directly, word for word, from the Psalms. So this is our opportunity to sing Psalms 91, knowing that he hides us in his wings.
It's related to the theme of this week, how important it is for us to come to church, come together and learn about God, but mainly to ask for His Holy Spirit, because His Holy Spirit is the only source that can guide us, that can live us and can, what's the word, it can let us know what's right and wrong, and most importantly, to serve Him.
Come in your
Thank you very much, ladies, Richard. So, here we are, second last night of a week of prayer. I missed last night, but I know Tuesday night, was it? It was amazing, as was Monday and Friday. So, I'm just welcoming everyone here tonight, and I will give my own little personal testimony. I have a wonderful experience today, right? I sort of say that sarcastically. If you look, you can't see, but about from here up through here, I'm skinned, very skinned, and on my arm, I'm skinned, and on my hand, I'm skinned. After a bike ride today with Zenny and Neil Watts, actually going up and down Mount Gravatt a few times, and as we were coming down, one of the runs, well, for me, it was the last run, obviously, I was on my way down, and we had prayed, by the way. This is the whole point of this. There is a reason to this. We had prayed before we'd done this ride that we'd be protected. And so I felt a bit ripped off when I came off. But anyway, we were coming down and I hit something with my front tyre. And I was looking at it because it's fairly fast down there. You're just flying down there. And so I backed off a little bit, but it wasn't going flat. So I thought it's okay, right? And then I got right near the bottom where you sort of have to do a full right-hand turn. And I'd slowed right down, or well, you know, reasonably. You're still going pretty quick. And the whole front wheel just boom, straight out and just down like a ton of bricks. And bro, I spent probably, blew about $1,000 on my bike in damage. But the bottom line was, I didn't break any bones. I'm not that badly injured, like seriously, for when I came off. So I'll thank God for that regardless. Even though I'm skinned, I'm alive and I'm well. And yeah, I live to fight another day. So it's a good thing. Nah, I don't think I'll play tennis. Anyway, So what we're going to do is we're going to break up. We're not even going to have a prayer here. You guys are going to have like 7 or 8 minutes of prayer tops, right? Is that right, Richard? So you can be done out of here by 8 o'clock. That's the plan. So 5 minutes of corporate prayer, please go now.
Saying it could have been worse, yeah? So that's good. Okay, Darren, you could have seen an elderly gentleman doing an exercise and going up and coming actually down the mountain. Have you seen him? Yes, yes. Okay, let me tell you about him. So we finished, Neil Marks and I, we finished riding a bike up and down the mountain. And when we came down, there was this gentleman, and me and him, we struck on conversation. And really, really bubbly and very nice gentleman, very learned gentleman. He's, you could see that he's educated. And it's so good to have an accent. I realize it's good to have an accent. As soon as I started talking, people ask me, where do you come from? Do you see that? Does that happen? All the time it happens. So where are you from? Okay, so I have to tell my spiel over and over again. So I tell him that where I come from, etc. And that I lived in England. Sorry. And that I came here, and I came through skills visa. And he said, okay, so what do you do? I said, I'm a church pastor. Oh, you're a church pastor. And he started quoting. He's a very educated man. He started quoting a poetry. And I did a second major in English literature, so we struck a chord together. So he started quoting John Milton and some American poets, and I was just listening. And he said, you're a pastor. Now it's your turn. 3 minutes. How would you like that? He said, you're a pastor. 3 minutes. Richard, what would you say? So off I go, 3 minutes. He said, I like it. I said, good, okay. So we carry on talking. We finished conversation eventually. And he said, you must call me. I said, yeah, give me your telephone number. He said, where do you preach? I told him where I preach. So he might come. So that's the second part of a story, my friend. Yeah? So does that cushion your pain? Oh, boy. Actually, another part of a testimony, that a couple of hours later, I get another phone call, and there's this person who said, Pastor, I'd like to have Bible studies. That was also awesome. So that's another part of a testimony. Anybody else who has a testimony? Go.
So if anyone knows, on the surface I may seem like extroverted, but really I'm shy to begin with. And I've been praying this year for God to make me bolder for Him. Well, no, actually for everything. In my life, in every way, but especially for Him. And today we were at the at Westfields with the family, and we met a girl again with an accent. And I said, "This is my inn." And I said, "Where are you from?" And she said, "Colombia." And I'm like, "Oh, great! My family's from Colombia." And she said, "Oh, and you?" She said, "Oh, we're from Chile." Oh, great! Conversation. I don't remember, how did we end up here? And I said, I sang in a Christian group, and then I met my husband. And Long story short, you know, she's been here in Australia 2 years. She's married an Australian man. And then she said, so where do you go to church? Because I had mentioned church. And I said, oh, we go to church in Mount Gravatt. And she goes, oh, because I'd like to go to church. And I was like, thank you. Like, because I'm not someone to talk to strangers and to bring up church. It's so hard for me. We were talking about that with Noemi. And she said, pray about it because God will use you in your way. Maybe you don't have to go to them, but maybe they'll come to you. And praise God, hopefully. And actually, the same. We exchanged phone numbers. So, and I said, there's potluck at the end of the month. So maybe she'll come. Maybe soon. I just thought that was awesome.
That's fantastic. That's really, really good. Yeah, come. Come. And so you have to queue. So if you decide to come and give a testimony, you have to queue up, okay? After Noemi.
Last night I was hovering around the back. I usually come and sit at the front. I have this habit of sitting in the front because if I sit on the back, I get distracted with everybody's head. But last night I was there, standing there, and I saw this lady sitting, and I thought she looked different. I never seen her before. So I went to say hello to her, and I said, you've been here before? She said, no, first time. I just decided to be bold and came in. Oh, so that sounds good. So how did you know about the meeting tonight? Oh, I was invited. Who invited you? Oh, no, she just called me to say she's not coming. So I'm sitting right at the back just in case I don't like, I will go. And I said, I will sit next to you so you cannot go. And then her name is Diane. And she said, and then she said, but you know, I may go. And I said, no, why don't we go and sit in the front? No, because then I won't be able to go. Anyway, I say, stay with her. And she told me, what happened? Julia, that was baptized on Sabbath, she invited her. And then when she was parking, she got a call from Julia. Said, I'm sorry, I'm not feeling so well, so I cannot come. And so you don't worry, you don't have to go. And she said, what do you mean? I'm already here. I'm going in. Whether who is there, whatever happened. And, you know, she was really talkative. And I introduced her to many people afterwards, you know, Cassia and Ute and Kura. And, you know, she cuddled everyone, and she was so happy. And she said, I'm a little bit far. You know where she came from? She came from all the other side, from the north side, from Chermside. She had a long way, and she came. And I said to her, you know what? The Holy Spirit sent you here because you didn't come. It's not a coincidence. She said, I know it's no coincidence. She said she had been going to many churches. She's a little bit, you know, new agey. And but she said she loved Jesus. She said, you love Jesus? He brought you to the right place. And we have been praying that the Lord, because it's very hard to go door knocking, we're praying that the Lord will bring people here. He brought you. And she said, really? And so when we started to pray, she kneeled down. We prayed together. We have a cuddle. Even we have a cuddle there, you know, after we pray. So exciting. You know, the Lord is sending people, like I said, you know, that he will send it to us. So praise the Lord. So keep your eyes open. Look for the people you don't know and go and say hello.
Okay. Wow. Thank you very much. Tomorrow. Okay. Come on. Okay. I'll time you. So how much time do you need? You know, like this man this morning to me, he said, your time starts now. 3 minutes. I give you 2.
You know, the Lord answers big, massive prayers and really small ones. Today I had to go to the Gold Coast, but I thought I need to rest because at night, you know, you're starting to fall asleep. And I said, Lord, can you wake me up exactly that time? And exactly that time, the Lord woke me up and I said, Lord, it's raining, it might hail. I need to get to church on time. And I promised Naomi that I would, you know, help support going to the community, sharing her breakfast. What is it? Connect, yeah? And I said, Lord, I need to go there, and there, please. And also, I was going to ask Pastor Zenny to come and talk about this to support Naomi. And Not support Naomi, but support the people that are coming. So, you know, just please support this because I am going to go into the community and how I have worked on behalf of an $8 billion company marketing vegan products and it just sold out. And so what I'm going to do is go out into the community and invite them. It'd be really nice if the church supported as well.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Yes. Also, another part of my testimony for this week, it was really highlight last week and highlight this week, was to meet a young man, and Ute knows him, who's going really through a tough time. He grew up in an Adventist church. His grandfather was in concentration camp, and he was an Adventist pastor. And he now, his grandson, living here, with a wife and two kids, going through a hard time. This was the second week that I spent with him, just having a conversation. And really God really blessed. And there's a certain turnaround in his life, and he wants to be baptized, which is, imagine, he's 30-something, and he grew up in a church. He was never baptized. And once you come to 30, it's not easy to get baptized, is it? I mean, you know the church inside out, and you potentially become cynical, and you can become even hard-hardened. And a lot of things happen, and you can just be discouraged. And he made a decision to be baptized. That was just made my day. It was beautiful. Look. Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful to see when person comes to Jesus and life comes back to you. That's so beautiful. Really good. Really beautiful. Hey, let's get into it. You give me, how much time do you give me tonight? 8 o'clock? 10 minutes. Okay. Look, it was, what a blessing this week, wasn't it? What a blessing. What a blessing to be here and just to spend time in this place and pray and listen to really good presentation that Richard did for us. So thank you, Richard, so much for what you've done. And it's been a tremendous blessing. Just continuing in what we started. Upper Room experience cannot go without Book of Acts. Chapter 1 and 2. And when we talk about upper room experience and the Holy Spirit, we typically go to chapter 2, don't we? Because that's where the outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened. But really, you can't go to chapter 2 because chapter 1 is the key. Well, let me use Adventist terminology. Most of you here are Adventists or of Adventist background. Have you heard of early rain and latter rain? You don't hear that one too often, but I like it because it fits the time. It's outside, it's raining, so we can talk about it, okay? So this early rain or the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in early rain, you find that in chapter 1. Remember in chapter 1, Jesus says to his disciples, go to the upper room. Yeah, go to the upper room and wait. Wait on me and on the promise that Father gave, just wait on me. Do you remember that? That's the key. So they went. Literally, they were like hermits for many, many days. Nobody in Jerusalem kind of saw them. Or the reason they would venture out was to buy milk and bread. I don't know, probably. You know what I mean? But that's all that they did. They would go to upper room, and all they needed to do is to eat and buy something and come back to the upper room. So what on earth were they doing all that time? What were they doing in the upper room? They were praying. And doing what else? We know that they were praying. We know that for a fact. What else were they doing? Sorry? Okay, well, potentially, of course, they were eating there, yeah. But what else were they doing? Sorry? They had fellowship, yeah, but they were together in the same place. But they were also studying the Bible. How do we know that? How do we know that they were studying the Bible? When you look at chapter 1 and you go to verse 20, you find that they are quoting Psalm, and they are discovering new things in the Bible that they have never seen. And that's what the Bible study is very often all about. When you come to God over and over again, you always discover new things. So we know for a fact that all they were doing, potentially individually as well as a small group, because this was a small group, they were praying and studying the Bible. What was their prayer like? I don't know. What I know is that they were missing Jesus, because this happened straight away after the ascension of Jesus. So the next day came, Jesus was not with them bodily. The next day comes, Jesus is not with them bodily. The next day comes, Jesus is not with them bodily. The next day comes, so they are missing him terribly, because for 3.5 years they were with him all along, and now he's not there. He's simply not there physically. So they are terribly missing him. They are hesitant to venture out. They don't want to go out. All they are doing is saying, we can't do this without you. So they're praying. They say, we cannot do anything without you. All they are doing, they are praying. They say, what do we do? What do we do? They pray, open the Bible, read, pray more, eat. That's all they were doing. Pray, eat, read, pray, eat, have a fellowship. That's what they were doing all along. And you know what? That's the key. That was early rain. Now let me ask you, what happened as a result of that early rain? What were the outcomes, positive outcomes? And I'm not still talking about chapter 2. What were the positive outcomes of chapter 1 of this early rain? Sorry? They were ready, but there was something more concrete that happened. They were of one, exactly. So this is now chapter 1. So there is tangible love among them. And I'll tell you one little incident that struck me. When you read chapter 1, verse 13, and if you have time, look at it. In chapter 1, verse 13, it gives you a list of disciples that were there. And list of the disciples that you find there in verse 13 is kind of the same list that you find in the Gospel of Matthew, with the difference that there is no Judas. But here is a major difference. You know what the difference is? In the Gospel of Matthew, he pairs them according to their friendship and blood relationship. So Peter and, what was his brother's name? Peter and Andrew. Is it Andrew? Andrew. And John and? John and James. And then you have Nathanael, and you have, who is with Nathanael? Who is his friend? Philip. Okay, so you have those three. So, but when you come to the book of Acts, these are not the pairs. They mix them. You know, when you come to church, you typically sit with who? Well, exactly, your friends, your family, and so there is no mixing, you know. There's no breaking through. There is no breaking in. It's not easy to break into the circle. So what is happening as a result of this prayer time that they spent, that they had together, as a result of studying of the Word of God, this fellowship and love came together, and Peter and John, who were probably rivals, no longer they were rivals. You see them later on going together. Instead of two brothers going together, Peter and John go into the temple together. Suddenly, new friendships are established. That's what the Holy Spirit starts to do. A love is experienced more in the community. Do you see that? And that's what started to happen with them. So that's the early rain, upper room. Richard reminded me to remind you of something. Are you afraid of heights, of the upper room? That's a height of an upper room, okay? Something happens when we, and just listen to the testimonies that we were sharing tonight. How good is that? That's what a church is at its best, literally at its best. Now, when chapter 2 comes, what is happening, they are doing exactly the same. They are not changing anything. Have they changed anything? No. They haven't ventured out. They're still on their own. They're having meals together. They are reading their Bible. They are missing Jesus terribly. They are missing Jesus terribly. And bang, Holy Spirit comes in incredible measure. What happens? What happens then? Do you know what happens then? What Adriana was saying. Suddenly they got what? Boldness. This boldness. And Peter stands in front of 3,000. Adriana, imagine yourself standing in front of 3,000. Huh? You can't do that. Of course you can. 3,000 people. And Peter stands, a simple fisherman, and he's preaching. And he calls them to accept Jesus. That's one characteristic. When the Holy Spirit comes in even greater measure than was given during the early rain, during the chapter 1. So now Holy Spirit is given in greater measure. But you have changed nothing. Do you see that? They haven't changed anything. Holy Spirit just came in a greater measure. And as a result of greater measure, you have greater boldness. But also what you have, Peter had absolute focus on Jesus. Didn't he? He had an absolute focus on Jesus and preached it powerfully. So much so that the desire within people was stirred that they would repent. And so many were baptized. So it's boldness. Jesus is at the center of everything. What else is the characteristic of a greater measure of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? What else is? What else is? Even greater love. Yeah? You see them now breaking bread, spending time together, but there is even greater sense of love and fellowship, and that is those who were poorer did not feel poorer. Yeah? Did you see that? They started to share what is theirs with those who didn't have enough. So they become a little more self-sacrificial. Yeah. What else is a characteristic of a greater measure of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? So we said boldness. Jesus is in the center. There is greater love and fellowship. What else? But when you say truth, you say the word of God. The word of God. Because they were so thirsty and hungry of what? Apostles' teaching. In other words, suddenly you develop thirst for this like you have never before. And you want to know more and more because you want to know more of God. So the Bible became so central, so central. And they start to share. Everybody shares. How good would that be that we as a church are more and more like that? Upper room. And do you see how there is a period of that early rain in your personal life and potentially in the life of a church when you can be just potentially a hermit, but you are hungry and thirsty of God, and you pray, and you study the Bible. And that suddenly more of love is experienced, even at home, and even at church. But then a new measure of the Holy Spirit comes, and more of that is experienced. How good is that? That is what we are talking about. So I really appreciated that we had testimonies also to share, because that's a taste of what really church is all about, isn't it? That's a taste of what church is all about. You see, when you can't keep it to yourself, correct? And do you see that boldness and that courage and that fearlessness prepared them for so much that was going to come? Because what came was an amazing spread of the gospel. But what came also was an amazing resistance to the gospel. So the boldness was met by a stiff resistance. Look, I'm not going to go into that now. But the bottom line is, I mean, how is your upper room experience? That's the bottom line. Do you have literally a physical place? Do you have a physical place that you go to? Are you disciplined for prayer? Potentially, are you disciplined for journaling? For me personally, every morning it's journaling, it's writing my prayers, it's writing what I'm studying as I'm studying the Bible. It's just writing. That's discipline, upper room experience. We have it here too. We are having it here. This is upper room. But it is also you personally, it is us as families. So that's the bottom line. Do you have that desire? Is that happening? Do you sense that it is happening more than yesterday, or that something potentially happened in me and I'm going to do this? I'm going to have my upper room experience, and I'm not afraid of heights, spiritual heights. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, so that's our really what is being created with this week of prayer, is just to stir within us not only desire but a practice of the upper room. And do not seek straight away some results of chapter 2. Don't seek results of chapter 2. Seek the results of chapter 1 first, which is I need to have a desire for prayer. God, give me desire for prayer. Give me desire for spending time with you. Let me experience greater love for my wife, for my children, for my friends. Let me experience that. Don't look for chapter 2 at all. But then God pours out the Spirit on you, and that chapter 2 definitely comes. It comes and it will come. So we stop here. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for what you have been doing this week. And thank you for a sense of family. And a sense that you are in our midst and in our presence. Thank you that by your Spirit you are touching our hearts. And you are inviting us and telling us assuredly that we can experience so much more. So, Lord, let every person who is now in prayer mode just make that silent commitment to make you a dwelling place. To make you a dwelling place, as Psalm 91 says. And this will make all the difference in our lives. Lord, thank you for hearing and answering our prayers as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. More. Do you have tomorrow? Do you want to?
Tomorrow is the upper room in Jesus. I mean, can't get any better than that. The upper room in Jesus. But also we're gonna look at the experience of Daniel in Jesus, and how we can become part of that experience ourselves. Now that we understand more of Psalm 91 and what God is willing to do in our lives, only if we allowed Him to do it. Only if we allowed Him to do it. So tomorrow, the upper room and Jesus.